We begin with our gathering hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Oh.
congregation may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to worship. Welcome to worship this morning. There are several announcements in the back of your bulletin, so you're always welcome to take those home with you so that you have a copy of those. A couple of things I do want to highlight, though. One important thing is our annual meeting is next Sunday, January 31st, and that will take place following our 9 a.m. worship service. And because that is in that time slot, like at 10 o'clock, there will be no Sunday school because our Sunday school teachers and staff would like to be here as a part of that meeting. And also, too, the drive-by communion. We're going to shorten it a little bit next week. So all those who are here at 10 o'clock, ready right after the service, we will they will be able to commune, but we'll only be out there for about 5 minutes then. So please, if you would like to come by the drive-by communion, please be there right after the worship service is over. Also, too, we do need 50 people here for a quorum. Otherwise, we cannot conduct business. So if you can be here and you feel safe being here, please come next Sunday to be a part of that meeting. Okay. Are there any other announcements? Anybody else have announcements this morning that needs to be made? Okay. If not, then we continue with the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was God. And the Word was God.
In the Word was life. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, We Three Kings.
first lesson is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 62, verses 6 through 14, responsibly. For God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly, my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken. In God is my safety and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Put your trust in him always, O people. Pour out your hearts before him, for God is our refuge. Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Even those of low estate cannot be trusted. On the scales they are lighter than a breath, all of them together. Put no trust in extortion. In robbery, take no empty pride. Though wealth increase, set not your heart upon it. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. That power belongs to God. Steadfast love is yours, O Lord, for you repay everyone according to his deeds. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gone to download a program on your computer or pick up an app, put it on your phone, and in that process of getting it all installed, it comes up with a little box that you have to scroll through, and you scroll through it, all the little fine print that you have to agree to. How many of y'all actually read all that stuff? Probably not too many. Or if you're reading a magazine and you come across a pharmaceutical ad, you notice on the front page of the ad, it's got nice-looking people, and they're happy, they're doing fun things, they may be outside enjoying the weather or whatever else, and it touts what this drug is supposed to do, but then maybe you have like two or three pages after that of all this little bitty fine print after that. Or even if you listen to the radio, and they're trying to sell something, or there's a promotion, and they spout out the promotion, and then all of a sudden they start talking 90 miles an hour. Again, all that little fine print in there. The prophets in the Old Testament a lot of times even had fine print. Their message was usually repent, change, turn around. And then came the fine print. And if you do, God is not going to bring the destruction upon you. Now, as we look at Jonah this morning, Jonah was one of the Old Testament prophets. But with Jonah, there is no fine print. God gave him a message to preach. It seems Jonah had a very simple job. He had to speak a message that was this long, just really short message. You know, with the other prophets, you've got pages and pages of what these prophets had told the people in colorful and beautiful language and in poetry and descriptive language. Jonah had one short message. In 40 days, your city will be destroyed. That's it. That's the whole of Jonah's prophecy. There is no fine print. It's crystal clear that one short sentence, in 40 days, your city will be destroyed. It's kind of interesting about Jonah. I know many of you have read through it. Jonah is a short book. It's only four chapters. But within that book, there is actually quite a bit of humor within that book of Jonah. You got to kind of read it with a sense of humor. When we think of Jonah, the first thing that pops in our minds is Jonah and the fish. That's it. But there's really a lot more to Jonah than just that short piece within that book. There was a Dr. Snyder who was a Christian history person, and he published a study of the early Christian church, the very first part of the Christian church, the very earliest part of it. But he didn't go back through documents or manuscripts or those kind of things. Rather, he studied them by what they left behind in pictures or in symbols. And so he looked where he could find maybe some graffiti left behind, or he looked on tombstones, the different symbolisms or the different pictures in there. He looked in the catacombs, and he looked at their early places of worship in the architecture and whatever symbols that they had there. He looked at 190 different pictures and symbols. Of those 190 symbols, six of them were of the baptism of Jesus. And six of them were of Daniel in the lion's den. Eight of them were of Noah and the ark. And 117 out of those 190 pictures was of Jonah, the different scenes in Jonah. And it struck him that this book of Jonah was very important then to these early Christians, that something in that story struck them and it brought out that gospel message of Jesus Christ within that story. And as you look at that story of Jonah, there are a lot of different aspects, wonderful things that speak and relate to not only the story of Jesus Christ, but maybe also where those early Christians were in that culture. Because in that day and time, It was brand new. Christianity was brand new. Also, too, there was a lot of persecution going on with those early Christians. And something in this story just struck them. One of the important things that I see in this story is of God's persistence. His persistence. In Martin Luther's Small Catechism, about the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther wrote, God's will be done whether or not we pray for it. God's will be done whether or not we pray for it. We can't stop God's will. It's going to happen. And here in this story of Jonah, you can see Jonah doing everything possible to try to stop that will, because the story starts out that God calls Jonah, I've got something for you to do for me. A lot of times God calls us, and sometimes we're ready to go. Yes, Lord, I'll go. And we've come through some stories just recently where people were just ready to go, like Mary. Mary replied when she heard the word that she would be carrying the Christ child, yes, Lord, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. I will do what you ask me. Or just last week of Samuel, then too, you know, having that call from God, that message from God. But here, Jonah's just the opposite. God says, Jonah, I've got something for you to do. It's fairly simple. It's real short. I want you to do it. So what's Jonah do? He tries to get away from God as fast as possible and as far away from God. Another interesting thing about this story is Jonah is the only Israelite mentioned in this whole book. In all four chapters, he is the only Israelite, the only Hebrew mentioned. And he is probably the least faithful of all of them. Here is Jonah from God's chosen people, called to do something for God, and he wants to run away. So he leaves that holy land. He jumps on a boat to go to Tarshish. But God's not done with him. God's will is going to be done. God is persistent. We cannot change God's will. So what's God do? He sends a storm. And it rocks the boat that Jonah's on. It doesn't seem to disturb Jonah because Jonah's fast asleep in the hold of the ship. But the sailors, they know that this is an act of God. Anything they try to do will not stop this. They know that it's something about this ship that's causing this storm. And they finally figure out it's Jonah. And Jonah tells them, just throw me overboard and it'll stop. Jonah is so willing not to do what God calls him to do that he's willing to be thrown overboard in the middle of a big storm. And so reluctantly, the sailors do throw him over. The storm calms down and Jonah thinks, now I don't have to do what God told me to do. But what happens? God is persistent. His will's going to be done. He sends a big fish that swallows Jonah. And for 3 days, he's in that belly of the fish. Now, I'm sure Jonah had some soul searching to do in the belly of the fish. And if you read the book of Jonah, he does come up with a prayer. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. That he had that time to sit and think and pray about, that he's in the depths, in the pit of this belly of the whale or a fish, and he had time to think. But God's still not done with him. So God tells the fish, spit out Jonah. And so the fish spits out Jonah on the shore, on dry land. And actually, the language is a little bit stronger than spit. It's more like regurgitate or vomit. So, you know, so here's Jonah sitting on shore. Now, I don't know about you and me, but if I got tossed over a ship, swallowed by a big fish, sat in the belly for 3 days, and then got vomited out on the beach, God would have my attention. But not Jonah. But not Jonah. God has to tell him again. Jonah, I've got something for you to do. Go to Nineveh. Well, if Jonah's reluctance in going to Nineveh, part of that is that Nineveh is the enemy of Israel. They are the bullies on the block. They are mean. They are cruel. They are strong. They are powerful. And so Jonah goes anyway. He goes to the heart of enemy territory. And it says it takes him 3 days to get there, to get to the center of the city where he can proclaim that message that God has given him to do. Scholars have said that there is no city in the Middle East in that day and time that it would take 3 days to get through. So what did Jonah do in those 3 days? Part of it may have been getting to know the customs. Maybe part of it was even quarantining. But I imagine most of it was just kind of wandering along. Just kind of stopping to look. Maybe at a marketplace, store. Just kind of going as slow as he could possibly go. Dragging his feet to get there. Finally, he gets to the center of the city. And he does what God tells him to do. Again, that little short sentence. In 40 days, your city is going to be destroyed. That's all it took. Everything for Jonah. And then he hightails it out of the city and goes finds a hill to overwatch the city because he wanted to see the fireworks. He wanted to see this whole city caving in. He wanted to see those lightning bolts and those streaks of fire coming down on this city and just completely destroying the city. But that's not what happens. When the people heard what Jonah said, that in 40 days your city will be destroyed, when the king got a hold of that message, he ordered everybody to fast, to put on sackcloth, which is a sign of repentance or of mourning, and to sit in ashes. Repent. That's basically the way that they repent, to change their ways, to change their evil ways, to turn around. That was their sign. And not only for the people. Again, too, like I said, you've got to have a little humor when you read Jonah. The king also decreed it for the animals. The animals had to put on sackcloth. And they too had to sit in ashes. Can you imagine horses, donkeys, cows, chickens, ducks? Dogs, cats, dressed in sackcloth and in the ashes. The idea then was that there was to be such a commotion going up to God that God would hear and see their repentance. And that is exactly what happened. God saw that they had changed their ways and he relented from punishing them. Jonah's upset. He didn't get his fireworks show. And so he just tells God, just let me die. Just let me die. My enemies have survived. Let me die. So God gives him a shade tree. In one day's time, he grows up a shade tree, and Jonah's happy about that. The next day, though, God sends a worm, and it eats the shade tree, and it withers and dies. And Jonah says again, God, just let me die. And so God and Jonah get in this conversation. And Jonah says to God, God, this is why I was so reluctant. Because I know you are merciful and slow to anger. And you are ready to relent from punishing. That's why I didn't want to give the message. You know, when we're angry at people a lot of times, or we think of them as our enemy. We think of them as the opposite of who we are. We want to see them get what is theirs. We want to see them hurt. We want to see them destroyed. But God doesn't work like that. God would much rather have friends. He would much rather save them and have them turn their lives around. We're kind of disappointed when we don't see our enemies get destroyed. Rather, that they actually agree with us, maybe. That they actually join forces with us. In a sense, that's disappointing. But we know deep down, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be, that those that are opposing the kingdom of God actually learn to repent and join the kingdom of God. And so the main theme here in Jonah is not so much that just that story of Jonah and the fish, but the main theme here is actually the forgiveness. The forgiveness that God is willing to give to each and every one of us. And I think that's what struck the chord of those early Christians. Because many of those early Christians were not raised Christian. Christianity was not around when they were children. And they realized how off track their life had been, but they turned it around. They were able to repent. Like the people of Nineveh, they were able to change that and turn that around. And they knew the importance of being a part of that kingdom of God. God's will is going to be done, whether or not we are a part of it. But God wants each and every one of us to be a part of it. And he gives each and every one of us a task to do. Maybe it seems like a huge task. But when it comes down to it, maybe it's just one short word. Maybe it's just greeting somebody and planting the seed of faith within them. Or maybe it's lifting somebody up. God's will is going to be done. And he calls us to join in with that, to be a part of that, to help bring that along. But it doesn't depend upon us. It is only by the grace of God that God's will is done for everyone whom he calls. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, This Little Light of Mine. Rise for the confession. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him with our heart, with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Proceeds from the Father and the Son,
With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead.
With gratitude for the gift of Christ, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking His mercy for the Church, the world, and all who need His loving kindness. Heavenly Father, yet again you show your patience, even when we are slow to understand, obey, and proclaim your word. We are often so much like Jonah. Forgive us when we are half-hearted, or worse, grumpy when someone we dislike actually repents. Lord, in your mercy. You called Jonah to preach repentance to Nineveh, and your Son called his disciples to proclaim repentance and coming of your kingdom. Give your church boldness to preach of judgment, repentance, and forgiveness, and give it graciousness so that many should gladly turn to Christ Jesus and be saved. Lord, in your mercy. We pray this day for our members in their middle years. Grant them fire and enthusiasm of youth and the wisdom and humility that comes with many years. Form them into fishers of men and women, eager to make disciples for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the leaders of all nations, especially our own. Give them integrity, wisdom, humility, and sound judgment. We pray for our president and vice president, and for all who have taken an oath of office to serve the people of this nation in accordance with the Constitution. Give us grace to live in respect with one another, and give us peace. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the needs of the lonely and the bereaved, the forgotten and the abandoned, the abused and their abusers, and for those in need of healing. Whatsoever they need, grant in double measure. Especially we plead on behalf of loved ones who seek our prayers, including Joyce Lambrick, Christy Lee Nunes, Leah and Christy Lee Medina, and Nicholas Riquel. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, we remember with reverence and affection our departed loved ones. Keep us united with them in bonds of faith and love. Turn our hearts in repentance and trust toward you. In your good time, deliver us into the fullness of that blessed kingdom announced and promised to us by your beloved Son. With all the redeemed, let us praise and adore you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers and petitions, dear Father, as may be best for us and to your greater glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity.
With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many the sign of that love, and that we may continue to share your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our last hymn, "We Are Marching in the Light of God."
We are marching in the light of God. We are
One more announcement before we go. The annual reports are ready, and they're ready to be picked up, so please pick up one as you leave this morning. We ask for only one per household. And so we leave with our dismissal. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.